All right. We've been looking at the MikroTik routers, advanced routing with these devices. I mean, they fall into this interesting category all of their own in a way, because they're priced like a consumer router, but they have the feature set of an enterprise router. So suddenly you're able to do so much more. You're able to protect your network way better than you could with a consumer router. And you're able to do that for about the same price, or maybe a little bit more, but about a tenth of the price of an equivalent enterprise level router. So all that said, they're extremely cheap for what you get. And when you've used a MikroTik router for a little while, you start to realize, wow, there's like no limits to this. It's like you can code stuff into it in their router OS software, and you can manage all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden you start playing with Caps Man and your mind is blown, because you can do things with a MikroTik router for $30, $40, $50, $150 that you would be doing with a router of equivalent specs that is $700, $800, $1,500, $10,000. And you're doing it on these consumer-priced devices from MikroTik. So the device that I'm looking at here at the studio is the router board RB962UIGS. And that model is what I've selected for us here at the studio. But it might not be exactly what you want for your house or your home network or your business network. However, that's what's really cool about MikroTik. I mean, one of the things is that you just pick the hardware that works for you, and the software is going to be the same from device to device to device. Whether you buy the $30 unit or the $150 unit or the $600 unit, it doesn't matter as far as the software goes. Your only limitation is in the hardware. So where my device has both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi antennas and transmitters, you may buy a cheaper device that only has 2.4 or only has 5. So those features will be limited only by the hardware, but the software itself is the same. So I always start by saying that, because I want you to understand, you don't have to buy the same one I bought. You find the one that works for you, and then you can follow along with this series. And amazingly, even if you have a different model altogether, you're going to be able to follow the screen. You're going to be able to follow the steps, and it's going to be exactly the same. That is amazing. So this week, I'm going to be looking at how to set up port forwarding, we're going to call it. Now, MikroTik is going to call it NAT firewall rules. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, but we know it as port forwarding or redirecting, and that is that when someone hits our public IP address at a certain port, if it's a port that I have allowed and that I recognize, I want it to reroute to the appropriate server. So in my case, I have a server at 10.0.0.17, and that server is running Nextcloud. It's my own personal kind of alternative to Google Cloud Services and Drive and OneDrive and all those kinds of services. I'm able to put them on my own server, and it's mine. It's my own hosted system. At 10.0.0.17, I need to open ports 80 and port 443. So if someone hits my IP, or I actually have a DNS record, because we have category5.tv, of course, so I have studio.category5.tv is going to route them to here. And that's going to then hit the MikroTik, and the MikroTik is going to say, okay, what do I do with this traffic? What am I going to do? So I have to tell my MikroTik, hey, that's port 443. I want to route that to 10.0.0.17. That's my next cloud server, because that is presumably what this person is trying to access. So let's jump right into it. I'm going to hop over to our MikroTik, and things are so sophisticated over here. So just follow along and you're going to start to pick up on how things work. I've clicked on IP. Last week we came here because we started looking at the DHCP server and static rules and things like that, which we'll expand upon in time. I'm going to hit firewall. These are the default settings for my MikroTik firewall, and I want to add some rules that are going to reroute traffic within my network. Now, where a typical consumer firewall router is going to say, hey, I'll take port 80 and I'll reroute it, remember the MikroTik allows me to have much more control over that. So I'm going to be setting up NAT rules first. That is network address translation. So those rules are going to decide, okay, if someone hits this port, where do I want to send it within the LAN? Okay, where am I going to allow them to access? But then it's still not going to work. Unlike a consumer router that is just going to say, okay, I'm just going to basically DMZ that server and allow anyone to get through and allow them to hack in and whatever they want to do as soon as you say go. The MikroTik is going to say, okay, no, I'll allow traffic through. However, they are subject to some rules. You may have some other rules that you've added to your MikroTik device that say, I'm only going to allow a particular IP address to access this. So that might be my home IP address or my office. It may be that I've set up a rule that says, I never travel. I'm always in Canada. I'm always, in fact, in Ontario. So if anyone ever tries to access my servers from outside of Ontario, block them. But open it for me, if I'm in Ontario. So like, there's all kinds of, like, it's a hierarchical kind of way of looking at those router rules to redirect traffic to certain servers within your network. You can imagine that's helpful for home because it's giving you more security, but it's also exceptional for business. Whether you own or run an IT department at a small, medium-sized business or even a large business, MikroTik is going to give you so much more control over those kinds of rules. So let's start with our NAT rule. And again, NAT is a short form term that we use. It stands for Network Address Translation, and it basically tells our network traffic where to flow based on the rules that I've set up. But they're still not going to be allowed. I'm going to show you that in just a couple of moments' time. So I know that I'm going to need port 80 and port 443 to route my traffic for Nextcloud. And I should start by showing you that, hey, if I actually go to studio.category5.tv, it's just going to hang. It's going to time out. It's not going to go anywhere because I haven't set up those rules yet. So that's spin, but I'll leave that open. So my NAT rule, first of all, I've created a new NAT rule. So IP, firewall, NAT, new rule. And now I'm going to change the chain here. I want to say that this is the destination NAT because I'm setting the destination within my internal network. I need to also set the protocol because I want to specify that this is actually TCP. And you can see that there are tons of protocols that you can choose from. I'm just setting up TCP on port 80 and then port 443 to get us started. Notice, too, that I am using WebFig in my web browser. I have not set up and I'm also not using Winbox. And that's partly because I want to show you this through the browser so that you can see that you don't need to have a tool installed to be able to administer your MikroTik router. I think there's a misconception. As soon as I say install Winbox and use that to connect to your router, it creates a misconception that makes you feel like, oh, this has to be managed from a tool. No, but that's a helpful tool to be able to give you access to your router. And it does provide some exceptional additional services like multitasking. So give it a try. But I'm going to do most of this through the browser because I think that that's a better way to show you as you're just learning your MikroTik. So I've set it to destination NAT. I've set it to TCP as the protocol, which is number 6. And I need to set my destination port. And this destination port is the port on the external network. So don't get confused with that, which I tend to sometimes do, because sometimes you may have a situation where your public port is different than the private port. In this case, as we're setting up our NAT rule, we are setting the external port here. So in my case, it's going to match the internal port, but just keep that in mind that this, let's say you want it to answer on port 8080, you could add that there, even though the server in-house is responding on port 80. So just keep in mind that might be different, but in my case, it's in fact not different. All right, I need to look at my interface. So there's the in interface. I need to say this is going to be Ethernet 1 in my case. It may be a little bit different for you. Just keep in mind that what I am actually doing there is I am selecting my internet interface. Remember when I first set up this router on our first episode of this series, I demonstrated that I was plugging my internet modem into Ethernet 1. Port 1. And so that's what I'm specifying here. I want this to respond on my internet interface. And as you can imagine, you can dig deep and you can set this up on, you know, you could be doing things very sophisticated by specifying different ports, setting up VLANs, all that kind of stuff. We're keeping things fairly simple and just going about it that way. All right, I'm going to scroll way down here to action. And just make sure that this is set to DST NAT, destination NAT. So that is going to route this traffic to our server. So now scroll down a little ways here, and you're going to find two ports. There it is. My two port is actually going to be the same. Notice it's giving me a range. I'm just going to specify port 80. And at the very, very bottom here, there's an opportunity for you to create a comment. I'm going to do that. I'm going to say next cloud 80. Finally, the one last thing that I need to add here is the destination IP address internally on my network. This is the server, as I mentioned, 10.0.0.17, because I need to say that this NAT rule is going to respond on port 80 and redirect to 10.0.0.17 on port 80 as well. So now I'm going to scroll all the way up and hit OK. And now we'll see that we have a new rule called Nextcloud 80, and it's responding DST NAT, and it's pointing TCP on port 80 through Ethernet 1 to, as we know from setting it up, 10.0.0.17 and port 80. I'm going to add new because I want the secure port as well. Follow those same steps. I'm going to change the chain to destination NAT. I'm going to change my protocol to TCP, and then I'm going to change my external, my in interface to Ethernet 1, destination port. I know I'm a little bit out of order. That's okay. You know what I'm doing. Destination port is 443. Let's scroll way down here and change our action to DST NAT, and our to address, same server, just different port, and then to port 443, and give it a comment here, next cloud 443. All right, I think I've got everything there. Looks good. Let's hit OK. So now I've got port 80 and port 443 NAT rules going to 10.0.0.17 within my network from the Ethernet 1 port over TCP. It's still not going to work. So if I jump over here, I'm going to hit F5 to refresh. Oh, and it is working. Look at that. Because I'm internal on the internal LAN, so I'm not actually on the Ethernet 1. It's not going to work from the outside world yet, because the outside world is coming in through Ethernet 1. I'm obviously internal. I'm on port 2, as you'll remember from last week. So in order to give access to the outside world, now I need to go over to the firewall rules tab here and click on Add New. So this is where I'm actually saying, okay, if the firewall gets hit, I need to trigger that NAT rule. So let's do that. So we've added a new firewall rule, and I'm going to change the chain. It's already defaulting to forward, so that's fine. Source IP address, This is kind of cool. I'm not going to set this, but I want you to see this. This can be the IP address that you want to allow. Remember I mentioned you could set it so that only your home network is allowed to do this? You could do that. Add your home IP address. You can even create IP groups that would be set up here. That's down here, source address list. See that? So these are things that we're going to be learning in time. Right now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to set a source address. I'm going to open this up to the world. But I want you to know that that is available to you. So moving along, destination address is, in fact, the internal server. So that's 10.0.0.17 protocol. We already know that is TCP. So click that. And TCP is, in fact, the default. So that just kind of saves us a quick time. But you can see all the protocols that are available to us. Next step is we need to set the service port. So destination port is going to be port 80. We're going to start with. We need to do both, but I need to set up each rule separately. So there we go. In interface is going to be my Ethernet 1 port, as we already established. And so what I'm doing here is I'm actually telling the firewall that I'm going to allow this traffic from the first Ethernet port, which is my internet connection. And this is the one where action needs to be set to accept. So this is where I'm saying, yeah, you know what, I'm going to allow this. You could also set this to reject in certain cases, or, you know, various different settings. But we're going to say accept. We're going to allow this and then create a comment just like we did before. I'm going to call this firewall rule comment next cloud 80. Scroll way up. And notice that if you leave off the NAT rule or you leave off the firewall rule, well, you're missing some of the chain. So it's not going to actually respond outside of your network. So you need to make sure that this is done. Next step is I'm going to add 443 in the firewall rules. So forward is already selected. Source address, we're not going to do this time around. Destination address, we're going to set to 10.0.0.17. Protocol is going to be TCP. In interface is going to be Ether 1. And what else am I? Oh, destination port. I need that there as well. Ba-ba. That is going to be 443. Scroll down, make sure it's set to accept, and then set our comment is going to be next cloud 443. There we go. Everything looks like I've got everything in there. Did I miss anything, folks? You tell me. I'm going to hit OK. So now here's the final step. You notice that these two items here are drop forward rules in the firewall. Now it's important to note that MikroTik works in basically in order. So from top to bottom. So when you're looking at your firewall rules, if you're wondering why are these still not working, well, it's because before my rules that I just configured, there's already a rule that says drop everything. So basically this is saying, hey, if you've passed all this, now drop the connection, right? Because that's a pretty solid firewall. Well, then it never gets here. So I actually need to reorder these. And the way I'm going to do that is I want these to happen. I want my custom forwarding rules to happen right after the final input rule. So I should be able to simply drag that up to here. Up. There we go. And grab the last one, my Nextcloud 443 rule. Drag that up. And there we go. And now we're in. So now I don't have to restart the router. I don't have to do anything. This is, I'm able to see it, but our Discord server, you can confirm for me. Head on over to studio.category5.tv, and without having to reboot my router, without having to restart anything, you should now be seeing that same login prompt as well. So head on over to studio.category5.tv. I'm sorry, and BP9 is just, or pardon me, Gnomon 5, you're just commenting that when I add the comments, you're not actually seeing them on the screen, and that's because Category 5 is 18 over 9, and my computer screen is 16 over 9. So that's something that I'll have to figure out how to fix in the future. That's my mistake. But you can see those comments have been entered. It's a comment field. It's just a text field at the bottom of your window while you're adding it. And that's what I entered. Nextcloud 80, Nextcloud 443. I apologize that I didn't catch that. But I appreciate you noting it. So Mo Maravilla says, yep, I see the login. And BP9 also says, yeah, it works for me as well. So without those rules, it would not respond whatsoever. But now that I've added those rules, now y'all are able to connect. So the next thing that I could do if I wanted to is I could set up those source address lists. And those lists can contain IP addresses of my home network, of my work network, of my friends' networks, of my staff's networks, and allow them to follow through those rules, but drop everyone else so that those hackers that are on my Discord server can't get into my Nextcloud server, and so on and so forth. So that's essentially, you know, those are your steps. So looking, let's backtrack a little bit and understand that, okay, I set up two ports today, port 80 and port 443. Those are, port 80 is an insecure HTTP port, and port 443 is a secure SSL encrypted HTTPS port. I want both of those so that if someone doesn't actually physically type in https://studio.category5.tv, it will instead hit the port 80 and redirect automatically to 443. If I didn't have port 80 open, they would never get that redirect. They would just get a server not found error. So backing up, we need to go into our MikroTik configuration. I'm using WebFig, and click on IP, click on Firewall, click on NAT tab at the top, and create a new NAT rule. That NAT rule is going to tell it, where do you want to go with this port? What do you want to do with it? But it's not actually going to open it up to the public. That's where the firewall rule comes in now. So click on Firewall Rules on that same IP firewall. And we need to create a new firewall rule that's going to accept that connection and allow those connections through. And you can further hone in on IP addresses or IP source groups and things like that. There are so many different options that we're not able to cover today, but you can get the idea that this is going to give us a lot of configurability and a lot of control over not only how traffic is routed through our network, but who and what IP addresses and what networks are able to connect through our network and how that's going to be routed once it hits our MikroTik.